Welcome back to another Baseball America Prospect Podcast. This is one of our last top 30 breakdowns. We're doing the Los Angeles Angels. I have our Angels correspondent, Taylor Blake Ward, with me today. This is Jeff Ponce. How's it going, Taylor? How are you,
man? It's good, man. I'm curious as to why this is close to the last. I have an idea, but <It's> not- I have an idea why.
No, we tend to do most of the correspondent podcasts later because we can't just like jump on and record three podcasts and, you know.
That was not my idea. That was not my idea why.
Yeah, exactly. No, we didn't hold it for that because I think on the, I think one of our first, when we did the Rockies already, you know, like, and we ranked the Rockies, you know, lower than you guys.
I think where they are.
Yeah. There's a few below the Angels. This Angels system, it's not, I want to say personally, kind of the opening of the show, I personally don't feel it's as bad as it's been. There's actually some interesting pitchers.
It's fun.
I felt like I was tuning into late season, you know, low A games to, you know, check out some of the young arms that you guys had. So I can't say I've done that in a long time with the Angels, frankly.
You mean you don't watch the Angels in September? Because that's pretty close to what should be low A arms every now and then.
Yeah, that's true.
But every now and then.
All those guys are already up in the big leagues earlier in the season. So, you know, they'd already graduated from prospect status. So, no, wasn't, unless they were playing somebody good. No, I'm typically trying to stay tuned into the minor league stuff at that point in the year. And, you know, we get some playoff stuff like that. So, can't say I watch a lot of Angels baseball in September. But that said, let's talk a little bit about what's coming down the pipeline here. And being the Angels, this could be somebody that's in the big leagues next year. We're talking about number one prospect, Tyler Bremner. We asked this on all the shows. You know, how difficult was the decision to go with Bremner at one? Talk a little bit about why you picked Bremner. But were there any other options?
Christian Moore hit like 50 days service time. So he was maybe an option. Christian Moore is maybe an option, but he's graduated. Caden Dana was Caden Dana hit 46 days as opposed to 45. So he was maybe an option. But I think between variance and variance projected outcome and upside, I think Tyler was an easy one in this organization. I think, you know, obviously George Claussen is number three in the organization, our rankings, but he would have probably been the only one that's prospect eligible that I would have contemplated. And as you can see, I even had another guy ahead of him as is. For the same reason, variance is a big gap there.
So going into Bremner a little bit, what is it, you know, you're hearing in your conversations internally? Obviously, he hasn't stepped on a professional mound truly yet at this point, right? So we're going off of college numbers, et cetera. Talk to me a little bit about Bremner and, you know, what the Angels like and what Angel fans have to look forward to with this player.
I mean, I think the first thing you're going to find is makeup, which I think is a cliche and I think it's a caveat, but it's a real thing. You know, he pitched through the second half of last season at Santa Barbara with his mother dying from cancer. And obviously he pitched even better while she was going through that. And seeing the way he reacted to challenges in his personal life and how he took it to the baseball field was a big thing. But I mean, it's a plus changeup. You could even argue it's even better than that. It's a plus fastball, and he's got to do a few things with shape to make it a non just velocity driven plus pitch. But right now the big thing for him is finding that breaking ball. They have him toying with a cutter. They have him toying with a slider, a little bit of different grip. If you look back at when he was before his junior year, kind of a sophomore year, Team USA time, he had a pretty good slider, average, maybe above average. And I think you still project that he's going to have an above average slider because of the way it used to be. You're kind of going back on old projections as opposed to current projections, which is what I think would be a deterrent from keeping him in the big leagues, in my opinion, right now, at least, not having that true third pitch right now, even though you have a plus and a plus. But I think, you know, finding that third pitch, the command is fine. It's you're looking for little tweaks, not major tweaks. It's not big misses. It's not big misses in or out of the zone at all. So you've got strike throwing. You've got two plus pitches. You've got a real out weapon. In any count, you can throw the changeup in any count. It's just finding that third pitch, and whether it ends up being a cutter sweeper or a cutter slider that improves his old slider, maybe the cutter, who knows, maybe the cutter becomes, you know, everyone's using a cutter right now, right? Yeah. And that's what I think is going to be the big thing, is finding a third, maybe even a fourth pitch for him is going to make him, you know, I have no doubt that he's going to be in the back end of a rotation, whether he ends up in the middle of a rotation or even near the front. That could be the big dictator for him.
Yeah, and I think you're right. He lost a little sweep on that slider. He gained a couple miles per hour. It became more of a cutter as opposed to like a short slider. I almost wonder if there's a capability, because he throws it hard.
Yeah.
The spin numbers are fine. He's not like a crazy pronator where it's really, really low spin or anything like that. It's like 2,400, 2,500 kind of range on the breaking ball, but he throws it like 86 to like 89. So there's velocity there with a breaking ball, which is good to see. It's just a matter of like maybe having a couple of different shapes, going maybe more toward an actual true cutter grip than more of like a gyro slider. There might be like two or three pitches I think that you could potentially kind of wiggle your way into here. He could probably get some more extension down the mound too. I've heard some people talk about some of his like trunk positioning with some pitching coaches and stuff.
Yeah, some short stride action that you want to get a little more.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt his fastball playing, because he spins the baseball so efficiently that like it's a really flat vertical approach angle with ride. And like he lowers his release height enough. So
yeah, it's good enough carry too. It's not like he has this, want to see some improvements to the fastball shape, but it's not a bad fastball. It right now, I think the write-up I put is like, you don't want a velocity driven plus fastball. You want to have the metrics that go with it. And he's up to like 17, 18 IVB, which is fine. I mean, it's good. It's actually good. It's just like, you have these guys. I mean, I'll compare him to his teammate this year, Jackson Flores, running out there throwing 100 with 23 inches IVB, you know? So,
yeah, I mean, he's 19. He was 19 last year at UCSB. I have the numbers in front of me. He was 19.2, 13.5. But you're going to lose a little ride with, you know, the major league ball or even the minor league ball versus, you know, the college ball and some of the mound heights, that sort of thing. But it was a 4.2 degree VAA. And that's kind of the thing that always brings me back with Bremer, is it is a flatter vertical approach angle. It's going to play high in the zone. It's going to play out of the hands. And it's just harder to catch those. So I think it's why he had the miss rate he had. I think it's going to work. The changeup's going to work, as you said. And it's weird. He almost throws it like a screwball. It's a higher spin changeup. It has similar spin to his breaking ball. With a ton of arm side run, it's a little bit of a frisbee. It's not like a full on airbender.
It's not
like
Bugs Bunny,
Williams, but like Devin Williams. But it is in that like genesis, that genre of changeup. You know,
it is. And one thing I think with that third pitch, I think that's going to give him is, you know, I saw him twice in person last year, and both times these amateur hitters, and these weren't. I mean, I saw him against UC Riverside, and I think UCSD. I think were the two teams I saw him, and you know, all respect to D1 athletes, but these were not professional hitters, and they were just teeing off on the fastball because they were hunting first pitch fastballs. So finding that something that falls on that fastball plane that breaks off to his glove side, I think is going to be drastically important. Cause like we said, the changeup is an out weapon in every count. And it is, you know, it's got that, you mentioned it's got not the fork ball, but that Bugs Bunny esque, you know, fade that just, it just disappears. It's almost like a splitter, like a Shohei Ohtani splitter to a degree.
Yeah. It's good. It's good changeup. Very unique pitch. All right. Let's move on to the next question here. How is this system better or worse in your opinion since 2025, where we did this podcast last year?
I think there's more upside. I really like what Tim McIlvain and the draft team did this year. I didn't like their first day per se. I did like Johnny Sawinski a lot, but what they did going and getting CJ Gray and Talon Haley and Luke LaCourse, Xavier Mitchell, I love the upside on the mound. I think that they did a really good job. And we're looking back at 2 years ago with Trey Gregory-Alford, Dylan Jordan, both top 10 prospects in the system. I think that on the mound, they look very good. Now, we've got to continue developing these arms. You know, they had that crazy 20 of 20 draft, you know, taking all the arms, and none of them have really done anything at this point. But I really like where the upside is on the mound. I think that's much more improved. I still don't think they have very good position player prospects. I think I wouldn't say it's worse, because Christian Moore was a prospect for half a minute, and that's about all they, you know, when they rush Zach Neto and they rush Nolan Shanwell and they rush Christian Moore, it's hard to find a hitting prospect or a and like I said, their first pick last year, their first hitter was fifth round. I want to say Jake Berger. It's not Jake Berger. Third baseman from Louisville. Oh my goodness, I'm drawing a blank. Either way, he's not a top 30 guy for me either. But it's like, when you need hitters in the organization, I'd like to see you take hitters. I think Brian Parker on the international side has done a great job with that. You're seeing Josh Lugo, you're seeing Gabriel Davalio, you're seeing Hayden Alvarez. I think you have one department that's doing great with hitters. You have one department that's doing great with pitchers. Now you kind of need to collaborate and get it all together.
Jake Monroe.
See, there you go. I got the first name right.
There you go. You got it.
Jake Berger's only a decade ahead of that.
But I do think, you know, you hit on a good point there, and that is the pitching has gotten better in the system. Certainly Brenner helps with that. Ryan Johnson was rushed. I don't dislike Johnson. I feel like he kind of got a raw deal, went back to high A, had a great season with Tri-City, and we'll see where it goes. But he's interesting. It's funky. Never should have been in the big leagues as quickly as he was, but you know, he still is a prospect, and I think isn't, you know, altogether.
For one more day. No, so, I agree with you, Ryan. I agree with you with Ryan. I mean, he's George Clinton, you know, he's got all the funk in the world, and it's exciting. But I think if you look back at last spring training, Ryan really was one of their best relief options. And not that last year was a make or break year the way that this year is for the tenure in the Angels front office. And now that after some comments from ownership, I don't know if it is a make or break year anymore. I really couldn't tell you because of recent comments from Marty Moreno. But, you know, looking at 2026, it felt like this coming into this from 2 years back, this year in particular, it looked like this was a year that was going to be maybe the most important year for the Angels. And I think Ryan Johnson making the big league team last year was just a lack of relief options. And now you're looking around and you have guys, we'll mention them later, but I mean, you have guys that are in the upper minors that are recent draft picks that I think would leapfrog Ryan in the depth chart, no matter what Ryan does in spring. You have time to do things with guys like that. And that was a big thing about what Tim McElvain was saying post-draft is, this is the first time I felt the luxury of having time to develop some of the arms we take, CJ Gray's and Talon Haley's. I think that was a very damning comment in a way, and I loved him, but it was like, that speaks volumes to you guys taking these guys that you have to bum rush to the majors for the sake of depth because you don't have it. And now you have that pitching depth, so you can take on the risk of these high school upside arms. And like I said, I love those arms. I think CJ Gray is like he's one of the most exciting prospects the Angels have had in a very long time, in my opinion. But when it comes to Ryan Johnson, you now have the luxury to take your time with him, in my opinion, because 2026, even though that was your window, no longer feels like the window.
Yeah, I think that's true. But there's some, you know, there are some interesting arms here. I think Klassen, certainly another one.
Yeah, he's
was a guy that, you know, was on a lot of teams' radar, kind of around where he was taken. I really like Trey Gregory Alford, was one of the better athletes among pitchers in that 2024 drafts. And, you know, I think showed it a little bit last year. I think there's more projection there. And Dylan Jordan's really interesting as well. So it's a more interesting top 10. And, you know, there is a decent amount of pitching here. So it'd be nice to let these guys.
Were you able to watch Dylan at the end of the year? At all?
Yes.
I think Ben Badler sent me the email and was saying, hey, you got to have this guy higher. And I said, I know I do, but I can't because of my projections and everything. Dylan Jordan is my favorite arm in the system. And that goes above Bremner. That goes above Klassen. That goes above Johnson. It's a low slot. It's a flat plane in. I think there's so much projection on the off speed. The fastball right now is it's a 60 because of his ability to locate it. It's 60 command of the fastball. It's 60. I put it as, you know, the sink, the arm movement, arm side movement of this pitch. I really think Dylan Jordan, I'm curious to see what they do over the next few years, because I'd love to see him pan out. But he is undeniably my favorite arm in the system. And I love Trey, too. I agree with you on Trey. And I know a lot of people would say Johnny Sawinski in there, but Dylan Jordan is one that I would sit there and just say, man, that is the guy I picked the click, and that might be the best arm that comes out of this whole group.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to follow. I don't think it's necessarily wrong either. Jordan was very interesting, and someone was a little more off my radar coming into last year. So definitely excited.
I'll tell you, when we talked a year ago, I would have said the exact opposite. I did not like Dylan Jordan a year ago. I did not want to have him as a top 20 prospect. I was like, I don't see it. And then seeing him this year, it was like, man, I'm glad I was wrong. He is really good.
Good stuff. Well, let's move on to the next one here. Who is your guess to be number one in this system next year?
I think you might have mentioned it. It might be Trey Gregory Alford. If I had to take a guess today, I would say AJ Gracia, Sawyer Strohsnyder, Caden Sorrell, Will Gasparino. I would say whoever that is. I think looking at it right now, I don't see a reason why Trey Gregory Alford couldn't be. If he has the improvements to his strike throwing and he has the improvements to that changeup, that split change, because right now his changeup sits about 93, 94. It's not really a changeup. But if you see the changeup progress, you see the strike throwing progress, undeniably, I would say he probably has the most upside on the mound of anyone here. You know, George obviously is among that group as well. But I see no reason why Trey Gregory Alford or Johnny Sawinski couldn't be the number one prospect this time next year.
Yeah, I think it's gonna come from the arms, frankly. You know, as you talked about, we look at some of the position guys, and
I mean, Joswell Lugo obviously has immense upside, but he's got to stay on the field and he's got to hit. He's got to stop chasing. He's got to stop his aggression, right? And he's got to stay on the field. Gabriel Davalio could hit forever in a day, but the body right now is just not in a place that you're going to say that's a number one prospect in any organization. It's not good. So you got to get the body right. You got to get everything going right on that. And he doesn't really have a position at this time either. So I think you look across the board, I have to agree, I think it's going to be the arms.
Yeah, and that kind of leads into the next question, which is, what is this organization good at developing? Is it the arms at this point?
I think so. I think they've done a decent job. They really have to fix durability. A lot of guys have dealt with arm fatigue, or at least that's what they're calling it, is arm fatigue. But they've shut down a handful of arms. And whether it's a high-end prospect like a Ryan Johnson or a lower-end prospect like Joel Hurtado, Brett Carey has been shut down multiple times. And I know Brett Carey's never sniffed the top 30, but I think he's a guy that's going to see the majors at some point. Austin Gordon got shut down for, I think, durability they have to fix. But I think they've toyed with so many different kind of releases. I think finding a good grip is what they're really good at. They've worked with guys that had a flat fastball and turned them into sinker cutter guys that, finding fastball plane, finding a different grip, a different angle. I think they've found good breaking balls for some guys. Maybe improving the changeup I'd like to see a little more. Finding a third pitch, a true third pitch, would be a lot more of an improvement I'd like to see them make. But yeah, on the pitching side, I like what they're doing, but you're seeing it. Durability, not a lot of these guys are coming up and being able to have the command and being able to stay on the mound for more than 50, 60 pitches. So, you know, I know that developing a starting pitcher is a challenging thing, but I'd like to see a little bit more durability out of them. And on the offensive side, they do have players that play offense. I think they've been pretty rough on developing bats. You know, a lot of low minors guys have done fine offensively. And I think the utilization of high Tri-City, because they were not using Tri-City under any circumstances for a while for hitters. I think they're using that now and explaining to these kids that, hey, you're going to go out there and maybe hit 200, but you're still doing everything right. So maybe it's I think they do a great job with makeup building, teammate building, trying to find a winning mentality, even though this organization really struggled with winning last year in the minors. But I think there's positives, but there's definitely things that have to improve. And I would say change up, durability, and finding any way to develop an offensive player, a hitter. They're fine in the field, but getting a hitter is going to be a big deal.
Yeah. Outside of Zach Neto, there really hasn't been, anybody that's come up internally since it feels like Mike Trout at this point.
Yeah. No, I mean, Seanwell didn't develop. He never developed. No. He got developed by Ron Washington, you know.
But he's kind of the same guy that he was coming out of college. I mean, It feels like it was plug and play. Maybe the first base defense is a little bit better, etc. But and we'll see with Christian Moore. We'll see how that all comes together. I think it's another guy that probably needed some more time in the minor leagues, but maybe he gets it. I don't know. We shall see. We're going to wrap up the video portion of the podcast. If you're listening on a podcast, you can stick around right after this break. We'll be back with more questions on this Angels deep dive. All right. And we are back. Taylor Blake Ward and Jeff Ponce. We are talking Angels top 30. So we talked about a lot of the top 10 already, but let's go beyond the top 10. Are there any sleepers in particular that you're fond of outside of this top 10? Could be anywhere from 11 to 30 or beyond.
I think Hayden Alvarez is one that he's got all the tools in the world. He can hit, he's got some sneaky power, he's got wiry strength, he can field, he can run. It's just getting it all together at the same time. Everyone talked about how Yasiel Puig is a wild horse, different player, entirely different player, but he's a wild horse in his own reins. So you got to rein him in. And what the Angels were saying about him is we'd rather see him be aggressive than have to teach him to be aggressive. And I thought that was a really good thing to say. And this is talking about in the field and on the base paths. Even during the Inland Empire 66ers championship run in low A, Hayden was serving as basically the bench base runner, as kind of a defensive. It's just he tends to make a few too many mistakes because of his aggression. But if he can rein it all in, this actually might be someone that I would say is easily a top 10 prospect in the organization. Going through the process, I had Hayden notably higher in my personal thought process going through it. And I had to move him down for the sake of he has an extreme grade variance. But I love the extreme grade of him. And then I think I've mentioned him many times, CJ Gray. You get that kind of on mound athlete with that kind of already present arm strength and arm speed, man. I mean, he's going to end up with a very special fastball, and all he has to do is find a second pitch and second pitch and just some form of command. And I'm telling you, that guy's big league all time. I love him. I think he's really special. Now, I don't think he's a starter. I think the grade indicates it, but love him. Absolutely love him.
Another guy I wanted to kind of ask you about, because I felt like he came up constantly last year in conversations. He also put up some big numbers in the Arizona Fall League, was the 2025 Minor League Player of the Year for the Angels. Rowdy Rodriguez, talk to me a little bit about him. A little bit older, but obviously good numbers. But a lot of the scouting reports don't necessarily back the numbers, and a lot of the underlying data doesn't back the numbers necessarily either. So
it's from high school, he was older. He's a Dominican-born player that played high school baseball in Georgia. It was a plus arm. It was kind of plus raw data on batted ball stuff. It was extreme EVs for a high schooler, but you had to take into account he was 19. He's a little stronger than some of the kids in his age bracket to a degree. And he was kind of serving as the backup on opening day at Inland Empire. And he worked his way into it. I think he had a game where he had like three triples. He was one of a few guys that had few guys in the last two decades that have had double digit triples, doubles, home runs. It is definitely near elite exit velocities. I mean, you're talking 116, 117 plus. It's a guy that can go out and field at any position. I'm a little leery on if he could be a big league center fielder. Maybe he is able to pinch there kind of thing, but Going to be able to play. He's still got the plus arm. He's still got the plus raw power. It's just trying to contain his chase rates. He chases a little too much to say, hey, this is a guy that was undeniably, he was the best performer in the Angels system last year and best on-field player in the Angels system last year, carried it into the fall league, as you mentioned it. But it's still a little bit of tools over manufactured ball player. He's a very good base runner. I think it's all there to be a fourth outfielder. I wouldn't say it's a everyday kind of profile. And that's why I have him ranked, obviously, outside of the top 10, down in the 20s. It's not that I dislike the kid. The kid's amazing. It's great makeup. It's great tools. It's just a 22-year-old that was in low A that had to earn his way into the role that he had is going to be a little bit of a challenge for me to say, hey, that's a top 10 prospect.
And we kind of mentioned this a little bit earlier, and this is probably going to be the last question. We'll wrap this up. They took a couple of, I would call them more relief prospects, in Nate Sneed and Chase Shores. Do you think either of these guys could see the big leagues this year? Could either of them be developed more like a starter, which is kind of what we saw with Chris Cortez out of Texas A&M, was another one of these guys that was, you know, a college reliever that, you know, struck out a ton of batters and a power four conference, the power four conference, frankly. And then they converted him to a starter. Is there any chance either of those guys makes that move?
I think that would be the goal of the Angels, is to try and do that. Obviously, you mentioned Chris Cortez, and from out of the draft meetings, or out of the draft phone calls, press conferences, they said they were going to try and develop these guys as starters. Nate Sneed in particular, because of his arsenal, he's got 5-6 pitches, and he can break the face fastball different ways. I think that's going to be really impressive. I was a lot of people really like Nate Sneed. It's a low slot, you know, it's a flat plane. It's an east to west as opposed to north south, even though he has north south weapons with his east west weapons. Chase Shores, I mean, you've seen it. That fastball slider combination is really special. But so is Chris Cortez's. And Chris Cortez spent the whole year in Tri-City in high A. You mentioned, could they be big leaguers this year? They were sent down to camp, minor league camp recently. Not to give away the timing of when we recorded this, but very recently. But if Chase Shores was on the opening day roster, I don't know if I'd blink an eye. It's the Angels, right? It wouldn't surprise me in the least if Chase Shores was on the opening day roster. But I would love to see these guys try and start and get them innings, see what they can do over the course of multiple innings and learn through those multiple innings. That's what development is. And rushing these guys, I don't think would be an asset, even though both of them do project as relievers in the long run. Being able to utilize them in multiple innings through inning 1 through 5 and getting out of inning 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 is going to only benefit them when they're trying to get in and out of inning 7, 8, 9.
Well put, well put. All right, that's the last question, Taylor. I'm going to kick off the hot seat here. Last thing I'll mention, any sort of overarching or, roundup sort of points on this Angels system heading into 2026, for Angels fans listening out there, sort of things they should be looking out for as they follow the minors this year, follow your content, and your work.
I would say the biggest thing is see how they treat guys like Chase Shores, how they treat guys like Nate Sneed, how they treat guys like Tyler Bremner. If Tyler Bremner is throwing a pitch in the big leagues this year, I still think they're behind the curve on the development ladder, because you need to take your time with guys like this. If this is the future of your organization, take your time before you get into the big leagues. If it ends up being AJ Gracia, Sawyer Strohsnyder, Jackson Flora, whoever, right, that goes 12th overall, you got to take time to develop these guys. So I can't wait to see what they do with their pitching staff in Arizona, in Inland Empire with Talon Haley, Xavier Mitchell, guys like that. But they've got to find a way to develop bats, and they've got to find a way to kind of continue developing internally without doing it under the watch of Kurt Suzuki and Ron Washington and guys like that.
Well said. All right. That wraps up our Angels Top 30 deep dive. Thank you for tuning in to another Baseball America Prospect podcast. For Jeff, for Taylor, for all of us at BA, thanks for tuning in.